Let's open our Bibles this morning in the book of Ruth, and we're commencing reading in the chapter number one, that is the book of Ruth, and the first chapter. And let's follow the reading of God's precious word from the verse number 8 of this passage of God's infallible truth. That's Ruth, the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse number 8. And let's read the scriptures together, please. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me. Make your much for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then Naomi left speaking unto Ruth. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's keep our Bibles open. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word today. And I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt take of thy word and, Lord, write it upon our hearts and grant that even this morning that, O God, you'll continue to speak and take of thy word and, Father, lead us and guide us from thine infallible truth. Lord, we pray that we might go out into this incoming week to put into practice what we have heard in thy precious word. And Lord, we pray that there might be those who will indeed leave all and follow the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him with all of their hearts. We pray that our God, that you'll not have anyone in this service to go so far and then to turn back. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that thou wilt, our God, just help them to go through with God, their vows to pay, their life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and give to them thy very best. Lord, hear and answer prayer, for we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, we've been studying in this first chapter of the book of Ruth, and we're going to continue this morning. We have already considered the choices that Elimelech made and the implications of those choices upon his wife and his family. He chose to go to Moab to survive the famine, but sad to say, he took his wife and two boys with him. And because of his failure, his two boys and Elimelech died there, and their tombs were left in Moab. We also looked at Naomi, and we heard indeed, she heard the news, how that God had visited his people in verse number 6 in giving them bread. And then she said in verse 7, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And so therefore we see these three girls and these three women, and they're making their way back to the land of Judah as far as Naomi was concerned. The Orpah and Naomi hadn't been there before, but they are joining with her. We looked at Naomi. We saw her decision. We saw her discovery. We saw her determination. She went forth. And having determined to go, she started out on this journey. She took these two young women with her. And yet we also looked last Lord's Day, or the last occasion, we looked at her deliberations, because she spoke to Orpah and to Ruth. And in verses 8 and 9 she said, "Go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." And then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice, and they wept. And so therefore we see this woman, poor, dejected, woman filled with despair in her hearts, and she has a desire for Orpah and for Ruth, that they might find happiness again. In other words, they'd find another husband. If she would go home, if they would go home to their mother's house, that they could marry again, and they would find rest, and they would find happiness there. And then it says she kissed them. In other words, she quickly bid them farewell, because her heart was breaking because of this departure that was going to take place between her and these two young women. Now, the Bible tells us in verse number 10 that the two girls wouldn't go. It says, "Surely, surely we will return with thee unto thy people." And so therefore they were determined that they weren't going to go with her. But she makes her demands once again. Verse 11, she says, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me?" She couldn't understand. Why would they want to go with her? She had nothing to offer them. She was a widow. She had nothing to give them. And therefore she says, "Why will you?" She starts pleading with them. She can't understand. They said, "Surely we will go with thee." And she said, "Why will you go with me?" And then she acknowledged her grief that was in her hearts. She says, "Surely," she said, I am grieved. I am grieved because of you. Verse number 13, "It grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." And so therefore she is grieved because she knows that she's under the disciplining hand of God, and that the hand of God has gone out against her. We haven't time to look at it, but you know, Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, it says that the hand of the Lord was upon him. And then in the book of the Acts of chapter 11, verse 21, it says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them." But here we find that Naomi saying, "The hand of the Lord is gone out against me." And so she makes a further appeal. Look at verse 14. "And they lifted up their voice and they wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her." And so she is acknowledging this is breaking her heart. It's breaking her heart, this great departure. And we find that the two girls make decisions. One was Orpah. She decided, says there, Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. And we find verse 15, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back." And so therefore she kissed her mother-in-law and she went back. She made her decision. Now we find that both these girls declared the same willingness. "Surely we will go with thee." In other words, they had the same intentions of going. And they both wept at the parting. But they came to different conclusions. We find that whilst once was brokenhearted over leaving Naomi, she did. She turned back, she went back to her family, she went back to her faith, to her false gods, and we find that she's never heard of again. That's the last we hear of Naomi as she has gone back to her homeland. You see, she was like, as I said the last occasion, she was like the rich young man who was he came running to Christ. He was nearly there. He fell at the feet of Jesus. He was brokenhearted. He said, "Good Master, what should I do? Tell me, how do I get eternal life?" And yet the Bible says he walked away. He walked away from the Savior. So near and yet so far. Do you remember, like Agrippa, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian"? And Orpha was so near, not far from the kingdom, not far from the land of Judah, but completely turned back. Maybe there's someone in this service this morning, and that's just you, friend. You've been so near. You've been so near salvation. There have been times that God has moved in your heart and you've been concerned about your soul. And my, the Spirit of God has so broken you. Maybe you were like Orpha. She wept. She cried. These weren't false tears, friend. This was a broken-hearted young girl. And she didn't want to leave Naomi, but she did. And friends, the sad reality is so possible. For you to sit in a gospel meeting and even shed tears of conviction and be so near the kingdom and yet to die in your sin and go to hell and be lost for all eternity. But what of the other girl? Look at what it says there in verse number 14. It says, they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth. Here's different. But Ruth clave unto her. And she too makes a choice, but her choice is different. She stood at the same crossroads as Orpha did, but she took a different route. It says, but Ruth. And the word there's a contrast. The word but signifies a change of direction. And that was true, not only literally, but that day she took a change of direction spiritually. It wasn't only that she went to Judah. She turned to God. She turned to God. What a wonderful change, friend, that the Lord is going to make in this young woman's heart because of her decision. We sing the wee hymn, I have decided to follow Jesus and I'm not going back. Have you made that decision? Has the blessed Spirit of God, my friend, brought you to the crossroads of your life where you stand there and the Lord has, by His Holy Spirit, drawn you by the matchless love, the wonderful love of God and the grace of God, and drawn you to Christ? It says, Ruth clave. The word clave there is the same word as in Genesis chapter 2, where it says that a man should leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. And the word there means to stick to adhere to cling to join with, to glue together, totally identifying with. That's what that word clave means. And that's what Ruth did that day. It was no simple decision, friend. She really meant it. And as we'll see, she meant it with all her heart. She conveyed the idea of loyalty and total devotion, not only to Ruth to Naomi, but also to God Himself. And as we'll see, it did go much deeper than that. Because she left her former affections, she left her former loyalties, and she turned to God. And then that is what happens when a person turns to Christ in salvation. In the book of Mark's Gospel, in chapter number 8, it says this in verse 33 and verses 34. It says, and when he called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And that's what Ruth did that day. That's what Ruth did. She turned completely. She denied all of the past. She turned her back on the past. She made a decision. I'm following thee all the way, Naomi. And whenever a person gets saved, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. And if you're coming after Jesus today, you must deny yourself. You can't go on in your old ways. You can't live your old life. Friend, you've got to turn from it. As this girl turned away, she turned her back on Moab and she put her face towards Judah and Jerusalem and to Bethlehem. And thank God she meant it. She decided to permanently identify with the people of God. Her heart was fixed that day. And that's what happens when a person's truly saved. I'm not talking about making a profession. I'm talking about those who are genuinely, really born again of the Spirit of God. Let me tell you, friend. You know, Naomi did not paint a picture of ease to Ruth. In actual fact, she pleaded with her time and again. She said, return, return, return. She even said, listen, thy sister has gone back. Now, people ask the question, why was Naomi so determined to get these girls to leave her? Or was she? Or was she? You know, sometimes people and commentators look at differently here. There's many that frown upon Naomi because it seems to be she's begging them to leave her and to get back, to go back to their families and go back to their false faith. However, some of the commentators have a different interpretation. Spurgeon said, Naomi must unselfishly set before each of them the trials which awaited them and bade them, if they cared for ease and comfort, to return to their Moabitish friends. It is one thing to love the ways of the Lord when all is fair, and quite another to cleave to them under all discouragement and difficulties. The kiss of outward profession, remember, Orpha kissed Ruth, and or kissed Naomi, and Ruth did likewise. They kissed. But Spurgeon says the kiss of outward profession is very cheap and easy. But the practical cleaving to the Lord must show itself in holy decision for truth and holiness is not so small a matter. Naomi, she said, return, return. But I believe, friend, rather than judging her wrongly, I believe that whenever Naomi was saying that to the girls, she was saying this: if you're coming with me, you've got to know the cost. You've got to know the cost. If they returned, she wanted it to be not for her sake. You see, these girls kissed, notice twice they kissed Naomi. In other words, they had an affection. They loved their mother-in-law. But what Naomi was saying, listen, love for me is not enough. If you're coming with me, it's not for my sake. It's because your heart really wants to go. She wanted their coming to be a deliberate, informed choice. She wanted their coming to be a love for God, based on a love for Him and not a love for her. She did not want them to come on her account, but for God. And let me tell you, my friend, listen, it is very true, and I've seen it down the years of ministry. There are people who make professions because of a loved one, because that's what their loved one wants them to do. But friend, that's a false profession. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And let me tell you, the pull off your friends is not enough. Because the real test of love is you've got to be willing to leave your father and your mother. You've got to be willing to leave everything for Him. That's what it says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, the cost of following Jesus. Friend, this is not a cheap thing. This is not an easy thing. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, it says this: he that loveth father or mother more than me, verse number 37, is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. There's the real test of love. The going through with God. Oh, it would have been so easy. It'd be so easy for Naomi to say, listen, I don't want to be left alone. I'm going home. Girls, come with me. That would have been so easy. But friend, it was not an easy road that they're going to travel. There's going to be a cost for going. And so therefore Naomi is setting it out clearly. And as we see here, Ruth had a number of opportunities to turn back. Verse 8, return. Verse 11, turn again. Verse number 12, turn again. Verse number 15, return thou after thy sister-in-law. She had so many opportunities to go back. But friend, she said, I'm going. You see, it was a declaration of the heart. And friend, that's what we need. It's not simply a profession of the lips. It is a work of God's grace within the heart. And of their salvation, it has got to be a heart experience. You notice the pressure there, verse 15. Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back. In other words, peer pressure. Peer pressure. And how many people, let me tell you, that did walk well with God, but friend, have gone back because of others? Because of the pressure of others? And they were not willing to go through with God the whole way. It would have been easy to have gone back. It would have been easier for Ruth to have followed Orpah. But it wouldn't have been right. And friend, that's what Dr. Bob Jones preached a sermon many, many years ago, the senior. He said, do right should the stars fall. And friend, that's what you and I need to do in this day, and where we will be tested and we will be tried. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, follow those who choose to follow Christ. That's what he's really saying there. Follow those that follow Christ. In other words, be careful who you follow. Are you following someone who's not honoring the Lord? Are you willing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and go with God's people, no matter what the cost is? Notice in verse number 16, here was Ruth's response. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. There's her declaration. And in verses 16 and 17, we have one of the greatest statements of faith in the whole of the Word of God, friend, from a girl who was brought up in a home in Moab. A heathen girl. And yet it's one of the greatest declarations of faith. That even though she was reminded of the possible dangers, she was reminded of the troubles that were ahead of her if she would go to Bethlehem, yet she was willing to face it all because of her desire to serve the Lord. Her decision was made, and she wasn't going back. I have decided to follow Jesus. The cross before me, the world behind me, but I'm not going back. Should no one join me, yet I will follow. Friend, those are words all easy to sing. But I can tell you they're different to live. The cost of discipleship. And what we're seeing here in these verses, it's the work of God's grace that has been done in this young woman's heart. A miracle of grace. Somewhere along the way, as Ruth and Orpah and Naomi were walking together, somehow along that way, friend, a miracle of God's grace was worked in the heart of this young woman. And I'll show you why. Because in chapter 2, let's look what it says. Chapter 2, verse 12. Boaz says this to Ruth, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. She had put her faith in God. She had trusted the Lord. Along the way, a miracle of God's grace. And friend, listen, you think about it. Just remember who this girl is. She had a sorrowful past. She was a Moabitess. That means she was under a curse. She was under the curse. She was under condemnation. And that's exactly where we were. That's where God found us. Every one of us who are saved this morning, let me tell you, we have nothing to boast in but the grace of God. Not have I gotten but what I received. Grace hath bestowed it. You know, sometimes God's people walk around with a sanctimonious air and an arrogant spirit as if they are something different, and they look down at look down and they see the poor sinner lying on the ground, or the drunkard lying there, or the immoral person walking there, and my, they just walk with their nose up in the air. Let me tell you, my friend, remember, and such were some of you, us. That's where God got us all, in our sin. God didn't find lovely people. God found sinners. We were condemned. We were under condemnation. She had a sorrowful past, and so have we. Listen, she had a sorrowful present. She's a widow. Notice the tears that have been running down. Her life has been crushed. She has a broken heart. She has broken dreams. Is there someone here this morning and your heart's breaking? Read the book of Ruth, friend. She had a sorrowful future. Her husband was dead. There was no one to provide for her. It was hopeless. And so were we because of our sin. But God changed it all. And that's what happened in this young woman's life. God changes. And let me tell you, God can change you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do for you. And maybe there's someone here this morning and you say to me, but preacher, this couldn't happen to me. I would love to be saved. I would love my life changed. I would love the chains of sin to be broken in my heart and life. But I have tried so much. That's the problem. I have tried so much. Salvation's not of you, friend. You can never save yourself. You can never break the chains that bind you. It's Jesus saves. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from. But she made a choice. She made a choice. A choice for God. And friend, that choice changed her life from that day. Oh, that didn't mean that there was a bed of roses thereafter. No, no, friend. She had, that day when she walked with Naomi back to Bethlehem, I can tell you that was a long journey. It was an arduous journey. It was a difficult journey. She went back to a place where she knew nobody but Naomi. It wasn't an easy road. But thank God, she trusted God. She made a choice. Orpha made a choice. Elimelech made a choice. Naomi made a choice. Ruth made a choice. And friend, that's exactly what you do today. You make a choice. There was a sign that was hanging on the door, I think it still is, of a classroom in the junior high school in Kansas. And this is what it says. We are not born losers. We are born choosers. We're born choosers. And what did Joshua say? He said, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. He says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And friend, you've got to make a choice. And each day we face choices. And to be honest, the choices that we make, they have the potential of changing our lives forever. Ruth pledged to remain with Naomi for the rest of her life. She said, look, she said, entreat me not to leave thee. She made her choice. In her heart, The battle was won, friend. No matter the cost, she was going with Naomi. She made an unwavering decision. And in these verses, we have the outpouring, the fervent outpouring of a young woman's heart that was sold out to God. And read those verses. Look at, entreat me not to leave thee. In other words, she says, don't ask me to leave you, Naomi, again. Don't do it. Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Stop urging me to abandon and forsaken you. Gil said, do not make use of any arguments to persuade me to go back. Do not meet with me with any objections or be in my way or in hindrance to me. Spurgeon said, I think Naomi was quite right to drive Ruth, as it were, to take this brave stand, in which it became an absolute necessity for her to speak right straight out and say, in the words of our text, entreat me not to leave me, to leave thee. The word to leave thee basically means to depart from thee, to leave, forsake, abandon thee. Do you know what she was saying that day? And friend, this is how deep was that statement. I can leave Moab. I can leave my father's house. I can leave my old associations. But I can't leave you, Naomi. I can't. So he says, entreat me not to leave thee or return, to turn back, to turn away from following after thee. You know, when you read those two verses were the words from the lips of a young pagan girl born in paganism. Remember this, without a Bible, without the privilege of a godly upbringing. And yet here she says this, I'm not going back. I've made my choice for God. And friend, let me tell you this, you know that tells me, no matter what your background is, the grace of God can reach you. The grace of God can deliver you. The grace of God can save you. The grace of God can guide you. She was raised in spiritual darkness. She was raised in a place of idolatry and immorality. But she was determined to pay the price of following the Lord and worshiping and fellowshipping with his people. Very quickly, notice what she said. And friend, I suggest you please go over these verses again. Take your Bible down again. She says, I've decided to follow you, Naomi. If you speak of difficulties, I can face them. If you speak of dangers, I'll confront them. I can leave all else but you. Friend, that is true love. Have you and I that love for Jesus today? Is that the kind of love that's in your heart? We sang, didn't we, this morning? My Jesus, I love thee. But friend, how much do we love him? How much do we love him? Notice what you said here. Not only entreat me not to leave you or return from following that, then she said this, for whither thou goest, I'll go. In other words, she's saying here, the road may be rough, the journey may be long, the deprivation may be great, but I'll go. I cast my lot in with you. I'm going all the way. And then she said this. Look at verse 16. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. However poor the dwelling, however exposed the situation, if under a green tree, a canvas roof, house of sticks. Naomi, what's good enough for you, it's good enough for me. Isn't that lovely, friend? What a statement. Whither thou goest, I go. Will you lodge? What can be borne by you, Naomi? Me also. Anything but separation. And then she said this. Thy people shall be my people. I know I'm a stranger. I know I wasn't brought up as one of you. I'm another race. I'm considered by your countrymen as enemies. But I want to tell you, Naomi, I mean this. I'll make your people my people. I want to be at one at heart with you. Do you want to be one at heart with the people of God today? Do you? And then she said this, thy God, my God. That's it. Thy God. You see, friend, listen. Whenever she was reared, this was the unknown God to her. She didn't know the Lord. She didn't know Jehovah. And even up until this moment, he was greatly unknown to her. And yet God had been working in this girl's heart. And she says, I really mean this. Your God, my God. I'll worship no other. I'll serve him as he required to be served. I will have but one God, the God of Israel. To him my sacrifices will be offered. To him my praises will be presented. To him my prayers shall ascend. I'll worship him alone. This day I honor the Lord to be my God. And friend, that day she was renouncing all of the falsehood and the idols of the past. She pledged herself to believe, to trust, obey no other God. And then she went further. Look at verse 17. Naomi, where thou diest, I will die. And there shall I be buried. In other words, Naomi, I lay my dying head on the same pillow. I will have no other sepulchre, but where you lie, I lie, and our dust shall be mingled together as our hearts are now united. And I'll tell you how serious she was with all these words, friend. This is what she said. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. If I was to betray that trust, I would deserve nothing else but the Lord to judge me. We are united in life, and we'll not be separated, even in death. And friend, you can write over that those verses, total surrender. She was giving her all. Go through with God thy vows to pay. Have you vowed the Lord, friend, to love him with all your heart? You know, maybe there's someone here this morning, you say, well, listen, you know, I don't know a lot about God's word. Listen, Ruth, her knowledge of God was small. Her former friends had been ungodly. Her discouragements were many. But she made her choice. I'm following the Lord. And friend, if you're willing to follow, look at, we'll finish verse 18. Look at this. It says, and when Naomi saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. You know, whenever you hear such verses said, verses 16 and 17, could you not imagine Naomi throwing her arms around Ruth and saying, Ruth, I thank you for such love and devotion. But she didn't. There was no emotional response for him. In actual fact, it says that she left speaking. In other words, it met with silence. What does that mean? From that moment onwards, friend, Naomi knew that she had to stop trying to convince Ruth to go back. She knew Ruth meant it. All the way. Steadfastly. That word means made herself strong in her resolve, made up her mind to stiffen oneself firmly upon a thing. She was not going back. But praise God, she went forward. And she came to Bethlehem. May God help us to go all the way. No matter what the cost is, may we go through with God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we bow in thy holy presence this morning, realize today just how important it is to make a decision like Ruth made. Realize our God of herself, she could not have made it. We thank thee for the working of grace in her heart. She'd come to trust in thee, and Lord, we thank thee that thou, from that moment on, you give her grace not to budge. There was not a doubt about it. She was going all the way. And thou hast promised in thy word, my grace is sufficient for thee. Grant that our God and in this congregation today, that every child of God will be given that grace this day to go through with thee. And go out and live, Christ. And go out and serve thee with all of our hearts. No turning back. And for those that are not saved, Lord, save them. For those that have fallen, Lord, restore them and give them the grace to go all the way with thee. In Jesus' name.
Amen.